The de Havilland DH-98 Mosquito was a British multi-role combat aircraft with a two-man crew that served during and after the Second World War. It was one of the few operational frontline aircraft of the era constructed almost entirely of wood and was nicknamed the Wooden Wonder. Here at AirVenture 2015, a rare Mosquito is turning heads following its recent restoration. It's owned by the Military Aviation Museum of Virginia Beach, Virginia. I talked with Mike Spaulding, the museum's chief pilot, as well as Warren Denholm, managing director of AvSpecs Limited of Ardmore, New Zealand, which undertook the restoration. Warren says the first step to such a project is to provide the aircraft owner with loving support.
So this is a Canadian-built Mosquito. It was finished in early 1945, but never actually got delivered to the UK, so didn't see active service. And then, of course, once the fighting ended, it was retired and sold off as war surplus. It kind of got neglected for the next 60-odd years.
And was it put to other uses?
It was used as a children's plaything. So kids used to play in it when it was... It went to a farm in Alberta, and the owner used to, you know, the local neighbourhood children used to come play in it. But this one didn't get used after the war. Some of them did get used for high altitude photography work, particularly in Canada, but not this airplane, no.
So you get this airplane, and what's the first thing you look at when you start with a restoration?
Well, you look lovingly at the owner and tell him what a great guy he is and what an inspired decision he made to restore a Mosquito, especially down in New Zealand. For an airplane like the Mosquito that had never been restored before, the hardest thing, of course, is to gather up all the parts that are missing and gather up all the technical information that you need in order to make the job possible. Because with an airplane like this, you can't do it without the drawings. Nobody had gone looking for the drawings for a Mosquito for, you know, since they stopped production in 1945, so that became the biggest job. But fortunately, for, you know, airplane lovers all around the world, a guy in New Zealand by the name of Glyn Powell, he decided in the early 80s that somebody needed to build a mold to remake the Mosquito fuselage, because if you don't have a mold, you can't build the fuselage, and if you can't build the fuselage, obviously you can't restore the airplane, because most of the woodwork on the existing airframes had suffered badly from the, you know, the weather.
And this is a wooden airplane, if people are not necessarily familiar with this, which was a mild rarity in World War II.
Wooden airplanes were very common in the 20s and 30s, but you know, the natural progression was to start making airplanes out of metal, as we all know, and the Spitfire and the Mustang and all the airplanes that came through during World War II, with the exception of this one, were primarily built out of metal. But the de Havilland company themselves had a long history of making wooden airplanes, and they recognized that there could be a shortage of aluminium during the war, what with the massive production that was ramping up all around the world. So they decided that because there was a shortage of a strategic item like the metal, they would see if they could engineer an airplane out of wood. And they also recognized that there was a lot of woodworking ability left untapped around the UK in particular. People that were making furniture and no longer had work to do could be put to use making pieces of Mosquito if it was built out of wood. They already had the tools. All you need to do was give them the plans and the right timber and they could make a beautiful part. So that was the kind of modus operandi for making it out of wood. Plus, of course, you know, anybody that comes to see it, you can see that a wooden aeroplane is a lot smoother and has a lot less joints and a lot less screws and fittings than a metal aeroplane in the time. So you could also make it very clean and very smooth. And the goal was to go faster. That was what was driving everybody, was speed. You had to be able to climb high and go fast. And when this aeroplane first came out, it was 30 mile an hour faster than anything else. Could climb higher. They built it with no armament initially because it could escape all the enemy fire just by outrunning it. So it was quite a breakthrough.
Mike Spaulding of the Military Aviation Museum of Virginia Beach, Virginia. In thinking about this particular airplane, what are some of the airplanes similar that you've flown at the museum?
Well, similar is a pretty strong word. Probably the closest thing is the Spitfire, because, you know, it's British and it has air brakes and very similar type systems to just two of it. But it's a much heavier airplane and a little more muscling around and pushing around to make it do what you want than the Spitfire, which is actually a very graceful airplane.
Why do you think that that this airplane is so beloved? Because it just seems like there was such intense interest, especially when this project was first announced.
Really, the British and the Canadians are the ones that really are really into the airplane. The Americans, a lot of them aren't even really familiar with it. Just the fact that it's the only one out there flying, nobody has ever seen one, much less seen one fly. So, you know, I think it's just got everybody's curiosity about it. And, you know, I have a hard time believing that it's wood, even when they look at it. And so they're always, you know, tapping on it. We call them woodpeckers, you know, tapping on the airplane.
And then how did you prepare yourself to familiarize yourself with this model? I mean, you could maybe do a flight simulator, but that's only for fun to see where the gauges are. Really, there's only a few flying, if at all.
Well, at the time, there wasn't any. You read the manual, and the manual has where everything is that you need to know where it is and to see it, and the instruments and your switches and gauges. But to prepare myself to fly it, I communicated with Dave Phillips, who test flew it over in New Zealand before we got it over here. So he was really good at adding all little nuances of the airplane, things that it does that, you know, you don't see in the book and things. And he did a very good job of that. So when I did go fly it, it was exactly like he said. So there were really no surprises.
You picked it up from New Zealand and brought it basically all the way here?
No, they flew it over there. And after they put time on it, they did over there. They disassembled it. And it came over in three shipping containers. And then they reassembled it in Virginia Beach. And then we flew it from there.
Warren, did you hear about the basically kind of like an EAA chapter in France that built kind of a two-thirds size Mosquito? Did you ever connect with them?
Well, I followed their progress quite a lot on the internet because it was, you know, we were building a Mosquito as well, and it was some crazy Frenchman doing the same thing. Yeah, I mean, fantastic effort on their part. I can imagine the challenges he had. There was at one point he did contact us about. Now, there's a couple of idiosyncrasies in the control system for the Mosquito. He just wanted to check with us on what we knew about the way the elevator system worked and what he was going to incorporate something similar in his own airplane. So we did have a little bit of technical back and forward, but kind of a fairly brave thing to get into to build yourself a three-quarter scale Mosquito. But yeah, good on him.
Percentage-wise, how much did you have to refabricate versus how much was salvageable from the actual airframe?
Well, none of the woodwork for the airframe was any good. You know, the airplane had just been left outside for 60 years, and you know they weren't that well protected from. You know, they weren't that well sealed. They have fabric on them as a weatherproofing, but it can only do so much when it's parked in somebody's farm in Canada, gets snowed on every year. It's not the greatest way to look after something. I mean, some of the other airframes for Mosquitoes have been kept inside, and you know the woodwork is a whole lot better. But this one, no, it was pretty bad shape. In fact, we didn't bring a whole lot of it back to New Zealand because there was just no point. From a woodwork perspective, it's all new wood. Although I say the trees came from the same forest, and it's possible they did. In fact, because there's not too many places that grow this kind of timber, because it's mostly made out of spruce and birch, finished birch. And the plywood was made in the same factory that the plywood was made in during the Second World War. So, you know, a lot of similarities in the airframe construction. But as far as the rest of the airplane goes, the metalwork, I guess 99% of it came from the actual project itself. It had a very complete cockpit, still had instruments in the instrument panel even after all that time of lying around. I mean, they were not able to be used, but, you know, that just gives you an idea of how much stuff was in there. And then, of course, because nobody had been building Mosquitoes until we started, there was quite a lot of extra Mosquito genuine stuff around. The engines came out of another Mosquito, so they were originally Mosquito engines that flew during World War II. The propellers, original Mosquito propellers. It would be nice to have the original woodwork, but you know, when you're spending the kind of money that it costs to build an airplane like this, you want to make an investment that's going to last for generations. Old wood and old wooden glue has a finite life. But we think with the new glue, the modern glue, and the way that they get looked after now, there's no reason why this airplane can't last for decades, centuries probably.
And Mike, any unique things about the systems of the airplane? Does the landing gear have a certain quirk to it? The controls, the propellers, maybe the flight controls, anything like that?
No, it's standard airplane. on this, it's got a combination of air systems and hydraulic systems. The brakes and the shutters for the coolers, the coolant is run by air, and the gear and the bomb bay doors and the flaps are hydraulic. But other than that, it's kind of like two different airplanes. When it's below 200 mile an hour, it's a very sluggish airplane. It takes a lot of control input to get a little bit of result out of that response. But after it gets over 200, it's more like a fighter and very, very, very tight and very nimble.
Mike, thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
Warren, thanks very much.
It was a pleasure.
Warren Dunham is the Managing Director of Avspecs Limited of New Zealand, and Mike Spaulding is Chief Pilot of the Military Aviation Museum in Virginia Beach, Virginia. You're listening to EAA Radio.